You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We already experienced the tainus of Yudzayin B'Tammuz. At the end of 3 weeks, we'll be experiencing the tainus of Tisha B'Av. And in our halachic system, this is called the halachas of Avelos of the 3 weeks, spanning from Yudzayin B'Tammuz up until Tisha B'Av. It's a time, Chazal tell us, of tragedy, of potential tragedy and destruction. We're going to discuss today what I entitled the theological underpinnings of the 3 weeks, to understand what they represent, what they teach us, and what we're supposed to deduce from them when it comes to the future history of the Jewish people. So listen very carefully as I develop this for you right now. And by developing it for you now, you'll be able to see very shortly how this, quite obviously speaking, becomes a major, major hashkafa in Torah literature itself. I first want to start off with a concept that is called the concept of what time, what Zman is all about. What is Zman all about? When I say a person, quite obviously speaking, is observing a time frame. Is time merely a measurement of the length of a day and a night? And that's all it is, to know what hour of the day it is, what hour of the night it is. But that's all it is, of a length of period of time. Or does Zman, time, have a much more deeper meaning and significance? So believe it or not, the Gedolei HaRishonim and Achronim deal with this question. The Ramban, but more in depth, Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher in his Perish L'Chumash, goes very deeply into this. And he points out that when we read the agenda of Briyas HaOlam, how Briyas HaOlam took place, and you hear that all the parts of the physical Bria, both on earth and both in heaven, were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bereish Elokim es Hashamayim ves Haaretz. He created the heavens, he created the earth, and all that's contained therein. We know that in the Bria, all different five types of things were created. But the Chiddush is, when it talks about Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, going up to Yom Shabbos, where the concept of days came into existence, on that part of the parsha, says Rabbeinu Bachya, that what happened is, not only did God create the concept of measuring time frames, they call the time frame of time, but that time was made into an active part of the Bria. Time has its own essence, its own metaphysical realities. It's a live entity. And believe it or not, time is impressionable. You can make a mark on time and cause time, as you're going to see very shortly, to be happy times, sanctified times. You can have the ability to, God forbid, take time and make it into a negative period, a time of grief, of tragedy, of ultimate destruction. And the determination of whether time is a good time or a bad time is placed in the realm of human beings who are living during this time period, as I'm going to demonstrate very shortly. And the importance of that fact will serve as one of the major underpinnings of the 3 weeks. When it comes to time, the first exposure we have to the life and the essence of time as being something live and very impressionable, we find in the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis that Hashem tells us, after creating 6 days of Briyat HaOlam and creating all the things that were created during this time frame, the Torah then tells us that on the seventh day, Hashem created the day of Shabbos. And not only did he create the day of Shabbos, the day of rest, but he sanctified the day. He was Mekadosh the day, which means he made Shabbos not only to a day of abstention from work, but he gave it a positive concept of a day of rest that allows us on this day to enhance our personal sanctification, our personal Kedusha. Kedusha Shabbos elevates our personal sanctity to higher levels that bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and allow us to therefore elevate our spiritual stature to a higher spiritual level. It's a Yom Shel Kedusha. So this is a time frame of time that's alive, is impressionable, and Hashem gave this time, the seventh day of every week, the din of Shabbos, to have a happy, positive concept of Kedushas Hazman, enhancing the sanctity of those who observe Shabbos each and every week. It's a positive Zman. What's interesting is we find in Parshas Pinchas, this week's Parsha HaShavua, there's a further extension of this concept, where at the end of the Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu discusses the various periods of Yom Tovim we have during the year. The term that Hashem uses to describe these Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur, he uses a very interesting term. He calls them Mikrei Kodesh, events that were declared and made into days of holiness. Each one of the Yom Tovim I'm mentioning has a positive spiritual aspect relating to it. When we are experiencing these Yom Tovim during the year, that ability to experience Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, or Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we're now exposed to a Kedusha, Hazman, a positive dimension of holiness of time that impacts upon those who observe these Yom Tovim. On these Yom Tovim, there's not only a mitzvah to do certain things representing that Yom Tov and mitzvahs, but there's an Isur of Malacha. There's also a concept of Isur Malacha to show the Kedusha Yom by bringing special karbanot to the Beis HaMikdash when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence. These are all positive times initiated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the timeline of the entire year. And these timelines are Netzach Netzachim, are eternal in nature. It's part of the fabric of our yearly time frame. And this is something that demonstrates that time is impressionable, can be raised to a higher level, in this case of spiritual positivism, of giving stability to remember the events of those historical Yom Tovim we observe, and to allow those Yom Tovim's historical record and Kedushas Tikkunim that took place at that time to impact upon us thousands of years later on. If the events took place on a macro level by them now, they're impacting upon us on a micro level, but they're impacting upon us nevertheless. Rabbi Nebachya ben Osho obviously was referring to this, but the Gadol who literally made a sefer on this, who literally elevated this to an entire halachic and hashkafic analysis, is the great Gadol Rav Moshe Chaim Litzatay. And he basically, in his ksavim, his works, demonstrated to us that unquestionably the concept of these Yom Tovim and its observance is to allow our ability to observe the Yom Tovim each and every Yom Tiv, to do certain mitzvahs that represent symbolically the activities that took place in the initial time frame when these Yom Tovim came into existence, and by doing such, to rectify our spirituality, to elevate it to a higher plane each and every Yom Tov that we celebrate. So these are what we call positive Zmanim, which have positive vibes for us when we observe them and we undertake their observance. However, at the same time we have these positive Zmanim, Chazal tell us that we also have negative Zmanim. And the ones I'll be discussing today, as I mentioned before, is the terrible, terrible negative phenomenon of Yud Zayin B'Tamuz, that became a very negative period of time of Churban, destruction, Pogonius, and the other Zman of Pogonius is Tisha B'Av, also Zman of Pogonius, destruction, terrible, terrible historical record what happened during these periods of time. And when these events took place, going back to Jewish history thousands of years ago, the events that caused them to be negative periods of time also impacted upon time, gave an impression on this time frame, negative type of impression, Paronius, Choshek, destruction. And unfortunately, this phenomenon of the destructive nature of these specific Yemei Paronius still exists to this very day. But as I'm going to point out to you very shortly, this is not for eternity. The Zmanim of Paronius I'm mentioning is only temporary, even though it might be for temporary for thousands of years. But at the end of time, Chazal tell us there is a Besura Teva Klais who will do tshuva. They'll repent on the Averis that caused these terrible days of Paronius. And there'll be a bittul of these days of Paronius, as the Rambam says very explicitly in describing these specific periods of time. The Rambam says in his Halachas on Tainus, Kol Hatzemes Elu, all the fast days that were declared as a commemoration of the days of Paronius I just mentioned, Asidin Levatu Limos HaMashiach, will be eliminated when Mos HaMashiach comes. Not only are they going to be obliterated as a negative phenomenon, Asidin Lios Yom Tov, Yemei Sosn of Hesimcha, Hashem will turn them into days of a Yom Tov and days of Sosn of Hesimcha. He quotes a pasuk in Zechariah that mentions this explicitly. So we are now observing in the 3 weeks so far these specific days as Yemei Paronius and Tzaris, days of tremendous historical destruction of the past, and days in which terrible things happened in current temporary times as well, where we have various wars and things happening against Klaus that happened during this period. As I'll say, the Geirish Sorad, the terrible, terrible period in Spain of the Inquisition, torturing, persecuting the Jewish people, one of the world wars. A lot of the stuff took place during this period of time. So there's Mani Paronius, and Jews suffered for years. And we're still in this level of suffering in our period of time when it comes to these specific periods and times that we're observing that he made timeless. So you'll ask me the question, why is it that Zmani Paronius can ultimately be eradicated? Why is it the positive times of Shabbos and Yom Tovim that are eternal in nature? And the answer to this question is pretty, pretty forthright. When it comes to the concept of Shabbos and Yom Tovim, the major entity that will mekadesh these time frames in their life of their own, of being positive, being sanctified, being beneficial for Klai and the Jewish people at large, is the fact that the entity that made these manim positive, sanctified periods of time is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzma. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the one who declared these Mikrai Kodesh, holy time frames, Shabbos Kodesh. Whatever Hashem creates has eternal value. So if that's the case, these manim that were set in time in the yearly time frame of time will miskadesh to be Shabbos forever, Yom Tov forever, because their brios of time created and impacted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo. When it comes, however, to the negative time frames in our Jewish history, Hashem did not create the negative time, the time of Paronius and destruction and sadness and darkness. It was the human activities of Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, and those tekufos that did Averas Chamuras that caused this man to become a negative time of destruction and Paronius. What human beings have and what human beings do don't have eternal value, especially negative things. As I pointed out before, if human beings created these zmanim as negative time frames, when human beings do a tshuvas hamishka and repent, and basically speaking, do a tikkun lachet of what the chet was initially, they're able to reverse the zman that they made negative and once again to a positive time frame, and therefore allowed us to be freed from the negative phenomena that take place during the zman poronius that took place in the past. We created it, we can basically cure it, we can make it from bad to good, from a churban to a yomtiv, as the Rambam records in the name of the Midrash Chazal. And that's why we as human beings have a definite responsibility and ability to therefore make the Tanesim that represent churban of the past into Zvanei Sasa v'Simcha and Yom Tovim in the future, Me'atz Hashem. I just want to mention one thing, and that is quite interesting. When it comes to Yom Tov and Shabbos, however, there's a difference between them in the power of them being exclusively, you may sasen the simcha, you may kedusha, and that is when it comes to Shabbos, the mekadesh haShabbos with Hashem bechvado biatzmai. Therefore, you can never turn Shabbos into a negative day. Something that's a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is permanently a positive zman. No matter what we do with ourselves, no matter what we do with Rosh Chodesh Shabbos or not, you can't take away the Kedusha Shabbos and the positivism of the day. This is a bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's not bottle. Human beings can't change it. When it comes to Yom Tov, however, it's interesting. In the Nusach HaBrachos we say on Shabbos, we say Hashem is Mekadesh HaShabbos. Hashem exclusively was Mekadesh Shabbos itself. When it comes to Yom Tov, the bracha we say in the davening, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. When it comes to Kedushas Yom Tov, it's true Hashem created these as Mikrei Kodesh, but Hashem was Mitzarif, the actions of Klal Yisrael, in the Kedushas HaYom Tovim, of these Yom Tovim. How was Klal Yisrael involved in Pesach, Shuas, and Sukkis? So Chazal teach us, when Pesach and Shuas Sukkis take place is based upon a calendar date mentioned in the Chumash itself. But calendar dates was not only under the tutelage, under the supervision of Hashem, Bechvod V'Atzmal alone. Hashem gave us the ability in Pashas Bo for us to be involved integrally in the declaration of when Rosh Chodesh is going to take place. If we, through the Beis Din HaGadol, are determining when Rosh Chodesh is taking place, we're therefore ultimately determining when Yom Tov is going to take place that year, what day of the week, based upon what day we declare it to be Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, in the brachos that refer to Yom Tov, it says Hashem is Mekadesh Klal Yisrael. He gave us the Kedusha. He gave us the appointment and ability to the Bezin HaGadol to declare the Zmanim of Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, and through it to then determine when the various Yom Tov are going to take place based upon the calendar date, which Hashem mentioned in the Torah itself. So Kedushas Yom Tov is a partnership between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechvodo Biatzmo, and between Klal Yisrael. Now why am I mentioning this? I'm going to give you an example of how Klal Yisrael, because we partnered with Hashem when it came to Yom Tov, we can have a negative impact upon a Yom Tov as well, which we can't do by Shabbos. The famous proof relates to the Zman between Pesach and Shavuos. According to the sources of Teruah Shavuot, especially according to Kabbalistic literature, the beginning of the Yom Tov of Pesach begins on the 15th of Chodesh Nisan. And this Yom Tov of Pesach and all that it represents, according to Kabbalistic literature, extends from Pesach all the way to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. In fact, the Zohar says that the time frame between Pesach and Shavuos, those 49 days, is actually, according to Kabbalistic literature, one big Chol HaMoed joining the Pesach in the beginning of this Yom Tov and Shavuos at the end of the Yom Tov. Which means the whole period between Pesach and Shavuos should be in a zman of Sasa, of Simcha, of Yom Tov, based upon the way Yom Tov normally is celebrated by us every year on the respective Yom Tovim that have like a 7-day period. We have Sukkis, we have Pesach, and the days in between, the first day Yom Tov and the last day of Yom Tov, are Yimei Chol HaMoed. They all have a din of Simchas Yom Tov. Why is it that on the period between Pesach and Shavuos, we find that it's not only Sasna v'Simcha as it should be, but we have, unfortunately, the concept of Sfiras Omer and the Avelus of Sfiras Omer of basically 33 days superimposed upon this period of time. The answer is because of the terrible, terrible Churban, what happened when he came to Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. Mara says in Yavamish Lo Nagu Kavod Zebezeh, they didn't show each other the proper kavod and respect, because the tremendous Chilul Shem Shamayim, it was a bitul of the mitzvah, Hafta L'Reicha Kamocha, and if that's the case, this Chilul Hashem of Sin Aschinim, which took place, caused it to be a Zman of Paronius, because in 33 days, Sviras Omer, the Talmidim Akiva were punished and they died during this period of time. 24,000 Talmidim passed away because they didn't show proper covenant and respect to the fellow Talmud. And therefore, since Yom Tovim are created on a certain level because of human aspect of us being Mekadesh the Zman, together with the Kaddish Baruch and Mekadesh Yav HaZmanim, we're able to momentarily put a negative impact on the Zman of Yom Tov by our inappropriate activities. So that's a representation how even when it comes to Yom Tov, not Shabbos, but Yom Tov, we can take a Zman Yom Tov, which is normally Sasna V'Simcha, and give it a negative quality because of our Maisim Harayim. So this is a little introduction to the topic of life that exists and the reality of time having an essence in its own right. Time is impressionable and has an impact upon us throughout the year. Let's get now to our topic. The two Zmanim I want to point out were that created by our human Averos, Averos of Klal Yisrael, were the Chatoim of Yudzayim B'Tammuz and the Chatoim of Tisha B'Av. What happened historically to take these time frames and make them into negative days of Paronius of tragedy? So the Gemara tells us, and it's very, very explicit, when you look at the Midrashi Chazal, Terush of Alper, then Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, the first major chet that occurred on this date was the chet of the Egel Hazav, when Moshe came down with the first Luchas Makadosh Baruch, when he saw Klal Yisrael worshipping Avodah Zarah, he broke the Luchas Hashem gave him and established this as a Zman Paronius, the Chil Hashem of Klal Yisrael, ultimately speaking, worshiping Avodah Zarah at that point in time. When it came to Tisha B'Av, what was the chet of Klai, so they made this into Yom Paronius? This is the day that the Maragim came back after spying out Eretz Israel in a special trip that it was sent on to bring back reconnaissance information. When they came back, the Maragim, 10 of the Maragim said, no matter what people say, we don't have the power, the capabilities, the yecheles to capture Eretz Israel. The land is full of giants, fortified cities. We can't fight a war against these types of people, these types of protected cities. The land has fruits and other stuff that is quite obviously of such a tremendous size that it's so powerful, this food. We won't be able to survive in this type of agricultural environment. And therefore, they were motzi dibor in Eretz Israel. And as a result of that, Klal Yisrael, instead of believing Kalev and Yeshua that we can capture and succeed in kibush Eretz Israel, as Hashem promised, Klal Yisrael believed the 10 of the Maraglim as well. That caused a tremendous chil Hashem. They cried the entire night after hearing the Besurah. Hashem says, you are bocha. You cried, B'chiyah Shachinam, you shouldn't have believed the Maraglim. Who told you to cry? Because you cried unnecessarily and you showed a lack of munah bitachon in Hashem. What's going to happen now is you're going to have B'chiyah L'daros. Tishba will then be declared a day of Paronius for generations to come. So the Chataim of Klal Yisrael in these two events gave these Zmanim a very negative quality, Zmane Paronius, of tzaras, of pain, of destruction. And this is how these weeks became the Zmanim of negativity. In Kabbalistic literature, Chazal tell us that the 3 weeks which join these two terrible days together, that all these 3 weeks are days of paranias, of tragedy, of potential harm and negativity. People have to therefore treat these weeks with tremendous, tremendous care, and be careful what you do during these 3 weeks, because paranias is very, very existent during this period of time. And the 3 weeks, therefore, this period of negativity, therefore dates back to the first original Chatoyim, the one of the Egel Hazav, and the other one of the rebellion of the Meragla. But what I want to do is analyze these two Zmanim and explain to you what really happened with them, and to show you the differential between Yitzayim B'Tammuz and between the Chet of Tisha B'Av. Listen very carefully. When it comes to the Chet of Yitzayim B'Tammuz, it is perhaps the most incomprehensible Chet that Klal Yisrael can do, because I'm going to put before you the following historical perspective. Klal Yisrael, basically, many, many days beforehand, going back to Chodesh Nisan, experienced the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They saw the Ten Makos, open miracles, L'mada Miderech HaTeva. They then witnessed many more miracles that saved them during the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. So they saw the Yad Hashem very openly at that point in time. During their sojourn in the Midbar, they witnessed the miracles of the Anani HaKavod protecting them from all sides. They got food, mon min hashamayim, bread coming every day to their Pesach of their bayis, which had a miracle about it. It tasted like any food you were hungry to eat. It all of a sudden obtained the flavor and the texture of what that food would be like. Incredible miracle and a miracle. And water, they had a rolling stone that gave them enough water to support millions of people in the Midbar during the sojourn. All of these were miracles. L'mala midarach ha-teva. They experienced incredible miracles. They finally, 50 days later, with Zolcha, to be standing at Har Sinai, experiencing Hashem speaking to them, panim l'panim. Hashem recited to them the Aseres HaDibros. They saw miracles, l'mayla miderech ha-teva. People were able to hear in Har Sinai things you could only see. People were able to see things you could only hear. And all the people that might have been sick, injured, underwent an immediate miraculous refuah. So everybody at Har Sinai were able to hear and see, and they were able to literally not be held back by any previous existing disease. They saw Hashem on the highest level of prophecy the person could possibly see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem gave him unique powers of prophecy. They're able to hear Hashem speak to them, panim al panim. So when you have all of that happening, and Moshe Kambesha goes up to Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights, and because he came a couple hours later than he had promised to come, or they miscalculated his time of return, to think that Moshe died, he's not coming back, and to take an egel and start worshipping Avodah Zarah, it's very, very conceptually impossible to understand how such a thing happened. How could the Am HaNivcha, all of a sudden, after seeing the miracles of Hashem's Yad so openly, reject Hashem to worship idolatry? It doesn't make sense. It's incomprehensible, Tamidim Tamitas. You can't understand it. You can't justify it. It's for this reason that one of the great Gedolim of our Achronic period of time, of Yosef Halevi Soloveitchik, who was called the Beis Halevi, the last Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva, wrote a Peirush in his Sefer explaining what Avodah Zarah means when it comes to the context of the Egel Hazav. He asked all the questions I just posed. It's impossible to think that Klaus all of a sudden rejected Hashem and decided to worship an Egel instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't make sense. So what is the meaning of Avodah Zarah B'Klal Yisrael at the time of Yitzayim B'Tammuz? So says Rav Salavation the following, which I want you to remember. He points out the motivation of Klal Yisrael to want an Egel Hazav, for the majority of the Jewish people had nothing to do with what we call idolatrous worship. They weren't worshiping the Egel, for most Jews, in lieu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They still believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no reason they shouldn't believe after all that they witnessed and experienced. The reason they created an Egel Hazav is because up until now, the entity of communication between Hashem and Klal Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu. When Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael, he spoke from the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the conduit of connecting to Hashem day and night. When Moshe was feared not to come back, somehow he died. As the Sultan was trying to make sure they should think that way, they said, what are we now going to create to bring a medium of connection between us and Hashem? That has to be a source of communication like Moshe. So they thought and they said to themselves, we remember when we're going through Kriyas Yamsuf, Chazal tell us Hashem allowed us, when he opened up the Rekia, to see that one of the major entities that connected HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf and coordinated what was taking place below and was a source of communication was the Kisei HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hovering over the Kriyas Yamsuf during our salvation, during that miracle. They saw on the Kisei HaKadosh the four figurines surrounding the Kisei HaKadosh Hashem on four sides. And on one side, there was a figurine of a bull. They said to themselves, now, that the purpose of the Kisei HaKadosh that was shown to us, it's a communication device connecting us to the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He communicates and he orchestrates things through this specific mechanism. If what's in Shemayim on one side of the Kisei HaKadosh is a bull, since we're looking for a communication device, we're going to create a baby bull, a little calf, as if we're making our own mice and our covenant down here below, that should serve as a conduit to connect and communicate between ourselves and our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Their kavana was L'Shem Shemayim. But the problem is, it's called Avodah Zarah. Why is it called Avodah Zarah? So Chazal explained to us, and this is explicit, not only in the Beis Halevi, but later on, Rav Hirsch uses this as a major counter-argument against the Reform Jews of his time. Avodah Zarah does only mean idolatry. Avodah Zarah could also mean unauthorized divine service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you want to do a mitzvah you made up, that you created, as an Avodah Hashem, which Hashem never gave you authorization to do, Hashem never declared this activity, this pa'ula, this object. I never commanded you to make it into a mitzvah object to connect and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we do that nevertheless, that is Avodah Zarah, an unauthorized activity of worship and connection to Hashem. And that's called, on some level, Avodah Zarah. It's very severe. What Hashem basically said to Klal Yisrael, what Moshe said on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Ki amcha agoy ha-gadol hazeh Hashem, when he's malam etzchus, Klal Yisrael didn't reject you with their Avodah Zarah. They wanted to connect to you. They were l'shem shemayim, but they were mistaken. They thought they could develop all types of mitzvahs and modes of conduct and creations and entities to connect to you, to relate to you, without you commanding them to be to do this and to have the ability to connect to Hashem. They didn't realize that's halachically prohibited as an Avodah Zarah on a low level. And therefore, he asked for Hashem to forgive them. Hashem finally said to Moshe, Salati kedvarecha, I'm going to forgive them. I'm not going to destroy them now because of this. I see what you mean. You know, Malam Yisrael very well on Klal Yisrael. But nevertheless, if you take this and you analyze what the Beis HaLevi said, he taught us a very important lesson. And that is, Avodah Zarah doesn't only mean replacing Hashem with another entity. which is what we talk about today when we're learning Masechta Safed Zohar and Daf Yomi. We're talking about nations of antiquity that no longer worship God, but worship stones and wood that were made into idols, representing other types of divine entities they made up to replace God. They made them into gods in their own right. That's real hardcore idolatry without a question. Very, very strictly treated in Chazal when it comes to the way we deal with idolatry. What Hashem was telling Klal Yisrael with the chet of the Egel Hazav, even when you think you're as smart as Hashem, and you can create new means and mechanisms and new types of mitzvahs that I never commanded to connect to me, you can create all types of houses of worship, temples, utensils to worship Hashem what Hashem never created. Hashem says, you think you're as smart as Hashem? You think you know better than Hashem how to worship Hashem? It's a little, you know, I would say, yuhara, gaivis alev. It's inappropriate. You're diminishing the fact that your knowledge can negate Hashem's knowledge. You can't even compare one to the other. And therefore, that was a chet of not giving Hashem the respect that's due, the reverence and awe that you're supposed to have for Yiras Hashem, Abbas Hashem, Yiras HaRelmimus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the chet of Klaus when it came to the din of the Egel Hazav. Not hardcore idolatry, but a lack of proper awe and fear and trepidation and realization that we have to mevatel our mind to the mind of God and not vice versa. That was the chet of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, quite obviously, it caused a negative consequence of that zman. Later on, various chatam of Klai Yisrael took place in later generations on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz as well. The Mishnah and Masechtas Tainis lists all the other tragedies that took place in Jewish history on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. But the initial chet was the chet of the Egel Hazav. If you look at Tisha B'Av, there we have a much more theological serious problem. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, the Torah in Parshas Shlach tells us what was the chet of the Meraglim in Klal Yisrael. Here the chet was, when it came to reporting how impossible it is the military mission to capture Eretz Yisrael, Kibush Eretz Yisrael, because of the giants and the fortified cities and the difficult terrain over there, we don't have the capacity to do this. It would be one thing if Klal Yisrael said, we as a Jewish army can't accomplish this. But they went one step further, which is really something of total, total kfira. What they said, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they made the expression, when it comes to Hashem, even Hashem cannot facilitate the ability to us to share itself by Hashem using His divine powers to bring us into the land, even l'mayla midarech hateva. Chazaku mimenu, it's too strong, it's too difficult for even Hashem to accomplish to call kibush Eretz Israel. The chet over here was 1,000 times more serious, because what you're really doing is you're really saying that God is not omnipotent, He's not all powerful. He has limitations. The mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, which Hashem said He's going to help us with, they said God can't accomplish it, He doesn't have the power. And therefore, they literally doubted the omnipotence, the incredible, super divine power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was already demonstrated to them with the Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf and the Nisim of Mitzrayim, Nisim of Ananya Kavod and the Bermayim and the Mamin Hashemayim, the Nisim of Har Sinai. They saw all these miracles. How could they think Hashem can't facilitate capturing Eretz Yisrael, as impossible as the mission might be? Hasukul Mimenu. So Chazal tell us, if I want to analyze what averas they violated, in the Avera of Tisha B'Av, Avodah Zarah, they violated the Lav, the second of the Asaras Dibros, Lo Yilecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. When it came to the Chet of the Meraglim, that was the Bittul of the Mitzvah Seh of Anoich Hashem Elokecha, They literally rejected the omnipotence, the all-powerfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, demonstrated in the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and their sojourn in the Midbar, total kavira on their Neuch Hashem Elokecha. This is why that day especially was a much more severe day of rejection and of total negativity than even the day of Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. That's why it's the most severe tainus of all the Tanaisim that were established as fast days because of the Chatoim of Klal Yisrael in Jewish history. The Rambam says it's a Yom of Paronius, a day of total, total destruction. And the only way, quite obviously, for us to get out of the 3 weeks and the negative ramifications of this time period is to do a Tshuva Gemura, which the Rambam says we have Avtocho by Chazal, the Ruach HaKedosh, the Nevuah. Zechariah says one day they'll become from days of Paronius to days of Yimei Sasna V'Simcha. We therefore see that the 3 weeks had historical phenomena that took place. The first two events set the tone that time should have a negative quality during these time frames, as I taught in the beginning of this year. Time is impressionable. It can have a positive tint, it can have a negative. And these two Averis Hamuras gave it a negative tint going back to the time of the Egel Hazav and the merit of the Meraglim. If you think about it a couple of minutes, Kalayusa, because of the Egel Hazav, were not punished to die in the Midbar. Because of the Chet of the Meraglim, they were punished that generation could no longer go into Eretz Yisrael. They had to wait for that generation to die, and the new generation born in the Midbar to be the ones that have the schus of entering Eretz Yisrael 40 years later on. It delayed the process. This is a Zman of tremendous paronius, but it's for us the Musa Shmuz when it comes to our connection to Hashem b'zman hazeh. From all of this we see, when it comes to our relationship to this period of time, we have to realize what you learn from these negative events and figure out what is the tshuva we have to do, and in turn, turn it around that we should therefore perform an act of tshuva, a tshuva samishkal, compensating for the negativism we had thousands of years ago with acts of positivism, basically offsetting the negative things we did then. The positive things today is a tshuva samishkal. So I want to suggest to you now for the next couple of minutes things of tikkun achet we can do to make this time frame of negativity a challenge of tshuva that will allow us ultimately to turn this from a negative time into a positive time once again by our specific activities. Let me make the following suggestions. Number one, when it comes to the chet of the Egel Hazav, Yitzayim B'Tammuz, but we have to realize the purpose of Torah v'mitzvahs is a means with which the Jewish people were given the schus to relate to Hashem on a very unusual, very spiritually intensive level. The dveikus between us and Hashem can only be accomplished through the performance of Torah v'mitzvahs. But we have to realize the Torah v'mitzvahs are not just blind commandments. The Torah v'mitzvahs is a system of halachic conduct and hashkafic belief in Amun and Bitachon, a system created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol with God's divine abilities to teach us, you want to connect to me as my Am HaNivcha, as my Am Segula. You want to have total divine providence, Hashkacha Pratis, placed upon you, as I promised you with Hasinai that's going to take place. The only way to accomplish that connectivity with Hashem, to be able to be the Am Segula, Am HaNivchar, and to live in a world where the Hashkacha Pratis, the divine providence of the Jews, is so intense and so powerful, that no force on the face of this earth, no non-Jewish force, no non-Jewish nation, no matter how powerful they are, cannot inflict anything upon us, any pain upon us, affect us, counter us, destroy us, chas v'shalom. The way we accomplish that type of connectivity is only through the concept of learning Torah and the performance of Hashem's divine mitzvahs. The promise of Chazal is, if we actually know what mitzvahs are and we observe the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu only, not things that we create, but only Hashem's mitzvahs that He gave us, or He gave for the power of Chazal, the Bezen HaGadol, to enact Takanis and Gezeros, to amplify the Torah mitzvahs Hashem gave us. This is a divine kanah phenomenon Hashem gave the Bezen HaGadol to do. And that's why many of the Durabanis exist to this very day. Their derises, because Hashem commanded us, the Shmoa Devei Chachamim, to listen to what they say, but they are derisive because Hashem told us when we chuyiv to listen, even though they were enacted by the Rabbanim. If we adhere to this law in a very rigid fashion, and we apply it to all the modern phenomenon that we experience today in our world in which we live, and we use all the gadgetry, computers and other stuff, for spiritual purposes, to learn Torah, to listen to Shiurim as you're listening now, to use it for the purposes of saving human life, for the refuahs. The technology we have can be used for good, chas v'shalom can be used for bad. Kol ma shebara Hashem bara l'chvod, whatever Hashem created, created for good. And therefore, when Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was asked many years ago, as from Jews, are we allowed to use computer technology and such? The answer he gave was, if Hashem didn't want it to be here, it wouldn't be. He created it, He allowed us to discover it and to use it for gevaldik zachen like habatzis ha-Torah. When you think about Torah being learned today, the ability to impact upon thousands and millions of people around the world with shiurim are more able to be done now than ever before. Before computers and technology that came into existence of the internet, we couldn't connect with the rest of the world in our teachings of Torah and mitzvahs. Now, because of this technology, we can reach almost every Jew on the face of this earth with continual ongoing shurim 24 hours a day. There's so many thousands and thousands of shurim being given on the internet today. Daf Yomi is being given on the internet all around the world. Shurim Halacha, Shurim Musar, Hashkafa, Shmira Salashon. It's incredible the Habatzas of Torah taking place. We have to realize, therefore, that we have to use this world according to the criteria of the Torah and realize by observing Torah of the Mitzvahs and spreading it, even with modern technology, connects us to HaKadosh Baruch on a much more intense level, rectifies the thoughts that perhaps we can create new means of relating to Hashem. The answer is no. Modern technology could only connect us by putting in the technology. The Torah Mitzvah Hashem gave us in Har Sinai doesn't create a new mode of worship Hashem. It just allows us to reach out to more people and a much more bigger audience by using modern technology to accomplish it. So the Musa Shmuz from the Egel Azof and Tikkun, use everything we have in this world for Kiyum Torah v'Mitzvahs. That should be what minimum technology is used for. Use all of this for a way of doing things that are positive, spiritual, holy, elevating, and therefore realizing only Hashem can tell us what spiritual, what a mitzvah is, what Torah is, and if we believe in that, and we really are sincere in that belief, that will rectify the chet of the Egel Hazav. As Moshe said when he created the Mishkan with Bezalel, when they created the Mishkan, they said in the Torah, Kasha Tziva Hashem Elokecha, all we did in the Mishkan, in building the Mishkan, and all its kelim, and all the begadim, Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, was exactly the way Hashem you told us to do it. We didn't add anything to these constructions of the Mishkan, to the begadim, anything related to Avedas HaMishkan. We did exactly what you said. Nasar Tzaynaka, we did the will of Hashem. And that gave these specific vessels and this specific binyan the eternal value of Kedushin Sanctity and Mekadosh Klal Yisrael. When it comes to the concept, however, of the terrible chet of the Meraglim, what I want to point out to you was a negative consequence that took place because of this. Because of this concept of the rebellion that took place against Hashem, doubting Hashem's powers and koyches, etc. Ultimately, what happened was, when it came to Churban Bayis Rishon, the Sheni that were destroyed because of Averos, it took place on the day of Tisha B'Av, as the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Tainis. What that means is, Chatan that took place on Tisha B'Av disconnected us from the Rabbeinu Shalom B'Chvodo B'Yatzmo, disconnected us, alienated us from Hashem. We drove Hashem out of our midst, and things that we did caused tremendous chil Hashem, as I'm going to describe to you right now. And as a result of that, the Paranius of Tisha B'Av still exists with us to this very day. There's a Gemara Masechtas Yoma that tells us what the Chatan of Bayis Rishon's Churban was and the Churban of Bayis Sheni. When it came to Bayis Rishon, the Churban took place, the Gemara says in Masechtas Yoma, because of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Ra'as, V'Shfichas Dam during Bayis Rishon, we unfortunately assimilated and acculturated like the Goyim who were living in Eretz Yisrael, which we should have kicked out, which we didn't. We didn't listen to Hashem. They impacted upon the Jews, and they were literally involved in real hardcore idolatry of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Ra'as, Rachmanu Litzlan, and Shvichas Damim. That caused the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. Detached us from Hashem with that type of activity. When it came to the second Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara says, we don't understand. Second Beis Hamikdash, the people seem to be Isaac, B'Torah, V'Mitzvahs, the involving Hamilas Chasodim. Why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? So the Gemara says, based upon Nevuah, it's because there was Sinas Chinam between Jews living at that period of time. And Sinas Chinam between Jews caused such a Chilul Shem Shamayim, a lack of Achdus amongst the Jews, it caused the second Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed. But this second Chet, Churban Bayis Sheni, unfortunately, Chazal tell us, has never been rectified. When it came to Churban Bayis Rishon, the Avodah Zarah, and the Taiva of Avodah Zarah was eliminated by the Bezin HaGadol, the Anshei Knesset Tadarich, during the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. Mar tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin Hashem, at the request of Klal Yisrael and the Sanhedrin, was mafakel that Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, and therefore there was a tikkun achet, people did tshuva. But the chet of sin, as Chinam Chazal say, of Bayis Sheni, is still in existence today. Let me explain to you what I mean. The Gadol who defines this are two Gadolim, Ravenus and Eibeshitz, and the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And this is what they say, I'm going to end with this. What they point out is that during Bayis Sheni, the Sinas Chinam was not just between religious and non-religious Jews. The Sinas Chinam was between religious Jews and other religious Jews. I believe in this Gadol, this Rebbe, I believe in this Gadol, this Rebbe, I believe in these Chidushei Torah, and I believe in that Chidushei Torah. What happened was, there was unnecessary sinner between a from Jew and another from Jew, looking upon other Jews to worship Hashem with a different type of hashkafa, even though it's totally Torah of the mitzvahs, calling them, if they don't do what they're doing, and copying them, apikursa minim. There was literally a sinner, a hatred established between from Jews and from Jews. Says Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, and later on the Beis Halevi, when Klal Yisrael see the Talmidei Chachamim of two different groups showing animosity and hatred and sin between themselves and fighting and screaming and yelling and accusing the other one of apikursis, it causes a chilul shem shamayim. Not only do people start losing respect for these Chachamim and these Orthodox Jewish leaders, but they start losing respect for the religion of Judaism, Torah, and Mitzvahs, and ultimately detach even from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chvod V'Atzma Chas V'Shalom. It caused a tremendous Chilul Shem Shamayim on Torah and Mitzvahs, those who teach Torah and Mitzvahs at that time, and those who want to observe them. People said, if this is Torah is all about, all the animosity, hatred that takes place, then maybe perhaps Yiddishkeit's not what I should be doing. and cause people to leave the fold and literally reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was literally rejection of Hashem, an amplification of the chet of the Meraglim, where they rejected Hashem of his kaiches, his abilities, and the persona of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only way to rectify that and to realize the ramifications, because Rabbi Kiva's Tamidim, who literally will onogu covers Ebezeh, even after Churban Bayis Sheni continued with this, that's why they were destroyed. It was a continuation of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sinas Chinam. The way we rectify Sinas Chinam is remember the Ikar Mitzvah of the Torah according to Rabbi Kiva, Kla Godol B'Torah, Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Loving your fellow Jew, no matter who they are, whether they're religious, they're non-religious, we have to have Avos Israel, unlimited Avos Israel. And if you have, up until now, unlimited Sinas Israel, the way to rectify that is have unlimited Avos Israel. This is the pula we have to involve ourselves today to realize. We have to have love and respect to every form of Torah Jewry that exists. If I'm a Hasidish, I have to respect the Litvisha. If I'm a Litvisha, I have to respect the Hasidisha. Each one amongst their own have to respect for one for another. All the Hasidish groups have to respect the other person's Rebbe as well. Every Litvisha group should respect Rosh Hashiva of the other part of the Litvisha world. That's the tikkun has to take place. We have to show people what B'nai Torah and B'nai Torah are all about. The Mekayeh Hashem Shemaim each and every day, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we behave, the way we interact between one another, besides the way we react between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Avas Achinim we need in order to rectify the chet and bring the ultimate redemption to take place. This is where we're holding now Tamidim v'Tamidas. This is the major pa'ula we have to be involved with now when it comes to the tikkun of the 3 weeks. Hashem will see that we're able to raise ourselves above the concepts of politics and get down to the basics of an Avas Achinim for one Jew for another Jew, ultimately Avas Abrius for the world at large, and promulgate the most beautiful concepts of the Torah to the entire world, Darchecha, Darchei Noam, Bechonis, Tzeh Shalom. If the world sees that's what Torah is all about, what Jewry is all about, we're a religion of living and preserving life and saving life. That's what Judaism is. Saving the life of everybody, Jew and non-Jew alike. We're not a religion of destruction of the world at large, because I want to die as a martyr and go to the next world. We're not a destructive religion like Islam, and perhaps maybe even Christianity in certain historical periods of time. We believe that martyrdom is not the only way to mekadesh Shem Hashem and get Olam Haba. Martyrdom is to live a life of a Jew and to sanctify ourselves each and every day the way we talk and act and behave and interact with society at large. Chayvin, we shall live by Torah, not die because of Torah. The purpose is to live Torah and promulgate the hashkafas of Torah that the world at large should realize the greatness of Yiddishkeit of Torah of Mitzvahs, not to convert to Judaism, but to exempt the lifestyle of Kedusha, sanctity of life, of the importance of life, every human life, promulgate shalom and peace amongst human beings on the face of this earth. That's what supposedly the concept of Yemosa Mashiach, the ultimate Gula, is supposed to give us, as man of ultimate shalom and brach to the entire world. That's what we have to work on today. That's the tikkun of the 3 weeks that we're involved in now. Let's not lose one day over the 3 weeks. Mahara on our avoda we have to be involved with. Dachera dachay noam, the ways of the Torah, ways of sweetness. Kol nisiv asar shalom, the pasuk says, all its pathways are ways of peace. This is the way truth should be portrayed to the world and shown that if the world wants to survive, it can't be a world full of war and murder and destruction of one person for another person. That's not going to work. That's not going to be a cause for the continuation of the planet Earth. Forget about the planet Mars. That's not where human beings are supposed to live. That's a false objective. Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, Ba'aretz, Adam, the Aretz Hashem gave us is planet Earth. That's where we're supposed to live. This is the planet we're supposed to perfect with human existence. Shalom bein ish v'chavero. This is where religion is supposed to flourish. I'm not worried about basically making a human kingdom in Mars or any other planet. That's a false hope, a false objective. and something we should look upon as total narishkeit. We have our avodas, the Amen Ivcha, to demonstrate how powerful, positive religion and life is all about, with peace and love. Let's promulgate it, let's personify it, and hope and pray that with shalom and bracha and importance of signifying the importance of human life, saving one life is saving an entire world. The realization that we are created with tzelem hakimus, when you honor a human being, you're giving honor to the Rabbanu Shalom, because we're created in the image of God, so you're showing kavod to Hashem. At the same time, you're showing kavod and love to another human being. This is what the Kamakubalim talk about. Avas Abrios, Avas Israel is a crucial factor in the ultimate redemption. Let's hope and pray, Bekarav Mamish, we're able to see this tshuva taking place, the metamorphosis taking place. We should strive for peace around the world at large, and hopefully this will catch on, not only by the Jews, but the non-Jewish world, bring Mashiach to Kenu, Amen V'Amen. And have a very meaningful 3 weeks.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.